All right, I'm gonna need you to take a shot real quick before we get started.
Why?
Go ahead.
Why do I have to do the whole thing?
And I feel like this is,
when you put something in it, you're gonna be telling more truth than I expected. What, like, what the fuck?
You know how I feel about shots. I feel like it's a good thing.
This is how you feel about shots.
Shots, everybody. I don't have any more money. Not as badly anymore. Bo's laughing in the background, and that's fair. Okay, so that was kind of stupid. But we're back. And Neff is still not taking his shot.
And she's on her second. I don't know if this is an interview or a fucking black bar mitzvah.
What does that mean?
It means like you're celebrating for no reason.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's called alcoholism.
Shh. I'm fun.
Yeah. That's what they call it. Fun loving.
Yeah, you know? Two stints in rehab, you know? Definitely not alcoholic.
You said stints like they were prison bids.
It kind of feels like it, just a little.
You have nothing to compare it to.
That is true. I've never been to prison.
Is that what this is about? You want to ask me about my prison bit?
Not really, but if we're going to go there, if you want to talk about it, I'm cool with that.
No, where are your questions? You know,
okay, fine. Okay, so let's do an introduction for the podcast anyways. This is the first episode after like 2 fucking years of just some drop the mic podcast. I'm back here with Chris Johnson, or Neff Johnson. He's done some really cool shit in the past 2 years, so he's definitely the first person I want him back on to kind of just get the shit started. So my first question for you, Neff, is, so why do you do comedy? Because I know it's definitely changed in the past 2 years. Like, what keeps you motivated?
It's sort of the same. It's the same. Like, in the beginning, it was sort of like an expensive hobby in a way. Like, I would spend money to go out of town and do fucking open mics for no money, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I still will. It's just, you know, sometimes I get it booked out of town too. And sometimes most of the time, I don't make money on those trips either. It costs me a few $100 to get somewhere. And then I might make $150 doing the show. So it's still for the love of the art. It's still for therapy. It's still like my version of a old person's crossword puzzle or knitting. You know what I mean? I like to figure this shit out. And it's a journey that never ends.
Yeah. And also to say how he's talking about it really casually, because he's humble and all, you know, and he's super relatable. So humble. We love that. You know what I mean? Totally into that. But like, he's been to like fucking like New York City, like Austin, like booking like really big fucking comedy cities. So like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like a, you know, it's like, it's something.
Okay. Let me tell your listeners something about you, motherfucker. And she'll be like, we'll be on the show at the same time, same show together. And she'll be like,
how'd your set go?
Because she knows I'm not going to be like, I fucking killed, man. And I'll be like, all right, I'll find something else to say. Like, they're happy. You know, they're a good crowd.
You're so humble. It's such bullshit. It's bullshit.
But then she gets on the radio, like, or your little podcast, like, we love the humble. He's got, like, what the fuck?
What? We do love a humble person. You know what I mean? Like, it's cool. That's what, you know, why you are as successful as you are, because you were a humble person and you were grounded and all that fucking shit. So like, I don't know. That's why, also why I wanted you back on. And I really appreciate you. And I know this is me kind of like doing whatever, you know what I mean? But like, I don't know. I like your shit. Yeah. So.
Yeah. She's talking about the stand probably. I don't even know if I'm booked at the stand. I just know I can go up when I'm there. I don't even know what the fuck it means. That's what you're talking about though, right?
The stand's in New York, right?
Yeah. Uh-oh. This is
evil. So like, I'm kind of stupid when it comes to stand up. You know what I mean? Like, the really big places. Because, like, I think my worldview is so much, like, Columbus and just kind of getting, like, established and kind of getting, like, a good 5 minutes, and I think I have that 5 minutes in like the 10 minutes, you know what I mean? I think for the past 2 years I've grown a lot, and I'm just not gonna talk about myself the whole time, I promise. But like, I still know, like, in comparison to you, like, my comedy world is so much smaller, you know what I mean? So to learn about like places like The Stand and all this other shit is like really cool to hear from you, but it's not really like even like in my scope. I can't even imagine, you know what I mean? Like, that's insane.
Nah, man, the world is so much, it's so accessible. I think if you go out there, you'd have your blonde moments or whatever, but you would jump right in it, man.
Yeah,
it's an adventure to New York, but
yeah,
you could do it.
Thanks, you guys, you heard it here. I can do it.
Yeah, 2 years ago you asked me had I ever bombed, and then and I think I said no.
I think you said that too. I think you were just like, yeah, no, I think there's like two different bombs. I think you went to explain like what a bomb was. You haven't like experienced like a bomb, but like you had like rough moments, and I agree, but like, have you, it's been 2 years now, have you had like, what's your worst bomb, or like the one that like kind of stands out, or do you not think you had a bomb before?
Nah, I'm trying to fix that last time I was on this thing with you. But I was not bullshitting. I just didn't feel like I had really bombed. And there's still levels of bombing. You know what I mean? There was the bomb where you just didn't take it up a notch from the person before you. There's the bomb where you had a few lulls or a few blank spots. And when you came off, people were just like, yeah, he's all right. You know what I'm saying? And then you got this other bomb where like, everybody does well on the bill, you know what I mean, and then you get up there and you just get giggles.
Like,
yeah, you just get some giggles. You know, you don't get your laughs per minute at all.
You just hear me in the crowd, just like. That's not my laugh, you guys. That's not what it sounds like at all.
They know.
Yeah, Baza said they know. And then there's the bomb where you just get absolutely nothing. I haven't had absolutely nothing, but I did do a Hasidity middle class black room that I only got the guest spot for, and I didn't expect to go up. And this was probably a year ago, actually. And I had one good pop. It was crazy. One joke worked really well. Actually, a joke that I don't like to tell because it's a very 50-50. It's just one sentence and it's...
Tell it.
No.
Tell it.
Killing it, man.
Tell it. Tell it right now. I swear to God, you better do it.
Or else what? In this interview, I got shit to do anyway. No, I'm joking. Now they know.
You're like, I will walk away from this bitch right now. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, that was the only thing that got something good. The host lit me early, man. It was like, you know, and then I was trying to wind down, and in 10 seconds after he gave me the light, he gave it to me again. Like, for real, get the fuck off. Bad. Yeah. I love that my failures are how I make you laugh the loudest. That's a comic. Comics laugh at the bomb, you know?
Bombs are so funny to me when you're like, damn. That sucks.
Yeah, and then again, I went, the second time I was in Harlem, this was not even 3 months ago, I was in Harlem. And mind you, I'm on the second half of the show. How they do it there is like, there's like sort of open micers that come out on the first show, and you can tell they're open micers because there's this like host that's just like a regular sort of regular host, but then there's this legend that hosts the second half. His name is Smokey Suarez, right? So I'm on the Smokey Suarez side, right? And they're so disorganized when I get in there. It's a clusterfuck. But I'm like, you know, they're like, who are you? They don't know me. I'm like, you know, I'm like, my man's called Smokey to get me on. You know what I mean? And so, yeah. so you must be, oh, okay, sit over here. It won't get you something to drink. So now I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm the shit. You know what I mean? I set up my camera and everything. I normally never do that. I set up my camera. And the guy that goes up before me does these, he's Chinese, he's only got 1 5-minute set, and he's talking about how rich he is, and this is Harlem, man. And he's like, and he's like, you know, so whatever, he's bombing. So I talk shit about him as him, like as a Chinese. I'm like, oh, I only drink sparkling water, you nigga, tap water, nigga. I kept doing that shit. And I'm killing like that, like so hard that my material kind of couldn't match it. So when I ran out of shit to say as the Chinese guy, yeah. I start saying, you know, regular shit, and I'm getting a couple laughs, but it's making me nervous because it's not as big as the beginning. So now I'm 4 minutes in, and I'm not dying, but I'm level 4 bomb right now. And then I started going to my gay material. Why? Why would you do that in front of a black audience? Why would you do that? And I got my shit worked for them,
yeah.
But I flubbed the line. And I don't even remember how I flubbed it because I have PTSD just thinking about it. But it's like, instead of saying something about, you know, observing gay people, whatever I said made it sound like I was gay friendly or something, which, I mean, it should be okay, but not in some places, all right? And they were like, And it was dark. It was hot in there, man. And I never sweat on stage, dog. And I was just sweating like a gay dude in the black room. Like,
yeah,
it was bad, man.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. So
by minute 6-7, I couldn't get shit, and I did my whole 10. And then Smokey Suarez goes up, and he's like, "Well, he ran out of bullets, didn't he?" That was a bomb.
Say that again.
That was a bomb.
Yeah. And okay. So what I don't know. So like my thing is, I feel like whenever, like sometimes comics do this when they know that their set isn't going as well, I feel like they kind of self-destruct.
Self-deprecate?
What?
Self-destruct?
Okay. Yeah. Like I feel like you just start pulling shit out.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know what I mean? That's like, you wouldn't normally say or like normally wouldn't like fucking do, but like you're just like, I mean, I'm bombing anyway, so like I might as well, you know what I mean? Like, what's gonna happen? Like, nothing, you know what I mean? Like, this sucks. Well, at least I do. Like, when I know like I'm not gonna get the response, like I start like just like doing this like off the wall shit that like everyone just looks at me and I'm just like, I'm sorry, like it's not, you didn't give me what I wanted, so now I'm self-destructing. And like, and maybe you don't experience this, but I feel like I notice a lot of like comics who do that. Like, I notice, like, I can name a couple and I'm not going to because that's fucking rude. But like, I notice there's a couple of comics in the club that's seen that kind of does that. And it makes me feel a little bit more seen. You know what I mean?
Well, like I said, I never bombed before, so I can't relate. But no, I'm joking. I'm saying like, I feel like. The only thing I can say about that is slow down. If I could go back, and I've never really caught myself in real time. If on sets that I've had where I was too fast, I usually stayed too fast the whole time. But slowing down can help, you know what I mean? And don't get all, you know, don't self-destruct. Don't try to make it worse. I don't even know what you really mean by that, but like, you can win them back. If you listen to Chris Rock said when you're bombing, say something completely outlandishly wild. Just one thing. Just boom. Just crazy. You know what I mean? Get everybody to go, what the fuck? You know, and then defend it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can get, that's the art of it. And then Patrice is like, he wants to lose you, yeah, to see if he can get you back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he also said having the room divided 50-50 is optimal. You know, that might not be for everybody, but.
No, I think it's fair. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
You also haven't read the Comedy Bible. Let's be honest.
I haven't, but I'm going to. I am. Like, every single time I think about it, I'm like, damn, Chris really did tell me to, like, read it. And I know it will help me out a lot. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just, like, I think, I don't know. This isn't about me. This is about you.
Well, the thing about me is I don't talk to, I usually don't, like, some of the young comics try to ask me shit. I'm like, it's nothing I can tell you that Judy Carter cannot. You know what I mean? So you got to get that out of the way.
Is that the author for the comedy book? Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Good to know. I got it. I reserved it from the library, but I never picked it up because I think it's just like, I don't know. I need to do it. I need to just buy it. I know I can get it secondhand. You know what I mean?
And also, that may not be the only one. There may be for you a different one that resonates with you more. I, you know, Joan Rivers probably has something that you could maybe appreciate. She's one of my favorite female comedians.
She's hateful. She's so funny. She's just so hateful, but she's hilarious.
Yeah. But Judy's just a comedy, you know, sort of professor.
Yeah. I'm going it based on what you recommend, you know, because like you're getting booked in like big cities. I'm not, so I trust your opinion.
Yeah, I'm a nerd about it. I think I got some natural funny, but I like to study the art of it, because I was like, when I first started, I hadn't read anything, right? So it was like, and I was doing okay, what I thought was okay. And so it was like, how am I doing this? You know what I mean? Let me get a grip on what it is I'm actually doing so I can do it better or at will, you know?
Yeah.
What else you got?
Okay. I think the other question I would always ask is, you know, actually, let's talk about your favorite set. Like, if you had to pick one set, and I know this is really putting you on the spot, but did you ever have a set like this is like, like, it just felt good, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, yeah, like, you just have, like, because I feel like when I'm, like, in a flow, I can't really, like, remember my set that well. But, like, you know, there's certain sets that, like, you just sort of, like, you get off stage and you're just like, that was good. Like, this is why I do it, you know what I mean? Like, this is the high that I'm chasing. This is, maybe it's not a high for you, but it is for me. Oh, yeah. But, like, this is what I'm chasing. This is what I want, you know what I mean? Like, this is it.
Yeah, I think we all get high from it. That's why it attracts so many weirdos. Yeah, it's definitely a drug.
Yeah.
Attention's
a drug, man.
Yeah, I guess. I haven't thought about why I don't want to now, because then I'm going to have to, it's gonna bother me until I have an answer for myself. But I think my best set, I think it's like a level of comfortability I reached, and I only done it twice. But I felt like I was the same comedian in those two different sets, and I'm proud because one was a black room, one was a white room, and I just was really comfortable. I don't know how to say. I don't know. It's almost like I was talking to myself. And I was just, I didn't care how it went or who was going with it. And I didn't have any downs, but whether I had an up or a down, I wasn't fazed by it. I just continued to talk to myself about what I thought about stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I never have a set list, but in those two times I was like super disconnected from my material. And I just had to talk from that little space in between your heart and your mind. You know what I'm saying? That those two circles sort of overlap. That little oval in the middle is what I don't know. It was just wild. I had good sets those times, and I don't really judge myself like that. But I know that I remember people saying the responses I still get from people who saw me that those two nights. We get people to come here now because they saw me do that set at Natalie's, like a couple months ago. Yeah. Nobody comes from the first set because it was a black room. And they're too busy like working and living off the system.
Shut up. No, but yeah, no, you've been doing some good shit. Like, we're currently like sitting on the patio for like the attic, which is like really cool. It's a really cool space. Like, you know what I mean? It's like historic or whatever. It's something like, I don't know. It's like a vibe. But you have like a weekly residency right here, and that you get to like book like your favorite comics on. That's super fucking chill. Like, that, not chill. That's cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's really fucking cool. Like, I don't know. Like, do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because that's like, honestly, that's amazing. Like, I don't know anyone else who has like a residency. You know, I don't know, like, what, like, fucking Jason Banks, like, you know, like, and Jason Banks is, like, Jason Banks, you know?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't, you know, like I said, I don't really, like, look in the mirror or all like that, but it is, anytime I'm associated with somebody like Jason, it's big for me. I can't not see that, but I don't bug out about it.
Because you're humble. Just so fucking humble. Oh my God. Just so humble.
But you gotta be cool. You can't be like, if you ever think of yourself too highly, I feel for me anyway, it would create a ceiling. If you think you're God, how much further up can you go, you know?
Yeah, I get that. I put people on a pedestal though, you know what I mean? Like, when I see you, like, they're doing like really cool shit, I'm always just like, oh my God, you know what I mean? So like, I get why you wouldn't want to do that, because you don't want to think like this is it, you know what I mean? You want to keep growing and expanding. So like, I appreciate that about you, because you could easily just be like, I have a residency at the attic, I don't need to do more than this, you know what I mean? Like my name's on it, like, who the fuck cares? So like, this is more than like literally like 99.9% of Columbus comics, and you could be happy with that. And like, honestly, like, I don't even like would necessarily blame you for that, you know what I mean? But like, the fact that you're still like humble about it and pushing yourself, I think says a lot about your character and like your professionalism and like how you know what I mean, like your drive. Because like, you wouldn't, like, you don't have to do that, you know what I mean? You don't.
I think part of that, one thing I can tell people about that is like, business is the bigger part of show business, you know what I mean? There's guys that aren't necessarily that great, but they're great at the business part of it, so yeah. They get themselves opportunities in that way. So it's also a lot of focus necessary in order for me to keep Thursdays what they need to be. I think if I can plug what I'm doing here, one of the important parts of it for me is the filming. Eric Basso and I are doing here with the comedians that come through, and it's sort of a comedy docu-series we're filming from it. That I'm sort of proud of, but it's not done. I mean, we only have a lot of footage, and we know what it's supposed to look like, so we have a filtration system for what we're going to be filming in the future and how that's going to work. So I'm proud of that. Yeah. And then hopefully that'll allow us to bring bigger acts here from out of town, and like some of the guys I meet from out of town or whatever. And Columbus is doing so well that even though I can't pay some of these 1,000, 2,000 a weekend guys,
yeah,
I can't pay them that for a Thursday, but we got Don't Tell, we can shoot them through that. We got Don't Tell Dayton Springfield, they can go down there and make a couple dollars on Friday, Saturday, whatever. So it's gonna be, once comedy season comes back around, when it's colder and people don't wanna go outside so much, it'll be bigger, better, stronger.
Yeah, 100%. And also, like, Dave Chappelle was like here like 2 weeks ago, right, at the attic. Like, yeah. That's wild. That's insane. Like, tickets sold out, and like I know the first day was like less than 20 minutes. I tried getting my own and I didn't. What? 19 sold out in less than 19 minutes. And then the second day, it just sold out. Like, it wasn't even promoted. It just fucking sold out. And I was so salty. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just cool that, like, you have, like, a residency, if I can talk. I'm not gonna even try it.
Shots.
Not in a speech impairment. But
I got one, too. People don't know.
I can kind of notice it. Just because I was in a room with other kids with speech impediments, so I could like So it's all different, but I can hear it. Like sometimes people will talk and I'm like, ooh, you did speech therapy too. You know what I mean? It's good that like you learn. But like, yeah.
This is the speech and peppermint pod. This episode is dedicated to people with speech impediments.
Impediments.
Why do they make the words this the people with lisp, like lisp, like remember, what is it, Frank's joke? Why would they call it a lisp? Like, I have a lisp.
No, like seriously, they're just setting you up to fail. Like you get like an L and an S and a P? Those are hard. Like why are you doing that to like people? But anyways, yeah.
The rest of my family, I got a nephew who's like that too. Every time I give him something that excites him and shit, he all he does is the lisp. He don't even try to give me a word. He just goes. That's a lie. I'm sorry. I won't say your name, Khalil. I'm just joking. Oh shit. Yeah. Cut. Back up. Edit. Oh, yeah. I forgot she used to work with my nephew.
Unloading trucks at Target. I think that may have been him. Maybe.
Yeah, he's got a lisp too. We all do. My family has retardation all through it. I forgot you're LGB friendly. You can't say certain shit.
I'm kind of getting over that because, like, I don't know. Like, my thing is, like, I used to...
Gays hate the retarded.
Gays? What was that, Eric?
I'll edit this out.
Anyway, like, what was that? No, but, like, my thing is, I used to be so, like... We can't hurt people, blah, blah, blah. And I used to get so hurt about, like, when people call me, like, retarded. But then I got to the point and I'm like, okay, if I am retarded, now what? You know what I mean? You're stealing my ideas. You know what I mean? Like, you're, like, trying to, like, copy me, but you're calling me retarded at the same time. Like, that's embarrassing for you that you had to steal from a retard. You like, you know what I mean? So like, I don't know. I take being called a retard like kind of like in stride because it's just like you're different and people don't know how to peg you, so they're gonna call you retarded.
Yeah, I think the word. I think one of the problems with comedy is we're targeted because all we do is use words, and we're just in a situation or a time in society where the power structures are trying to make divides between people. Through words, because of words or whatever, but the words don't matter as much as the feeling and the actions and the type of shit people actually do. You know what I mean? You can tell when somebody is like Jew, you know what I mean, versus like, you know, my Jew buddy, you know, whatever. You know, it's not. Yeah. It's not as big a deal as how you treat people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally get it. And I also feel like, and this may be a little bit controversial, but like the people who claim to be so politically correct are the ones who screw me over the most. Mm. You know what I mean?
There you go, because it's also... It's also a cover.
It is.
You know what I mean? It's also a way to it's also, it's almost like a sexual predator pastors. You know, whether they're pedophiles or just like, you know, regular preachers who have all the missionaries in missionary on Saturday night. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's a great cover for who you really are underneath. You can tell by the actions. Just watch those people who have those sort of strict rules about what you can say. Watch what they do.
Yeah, like how they move, because like I for a minute was like really like drawn in on like the people that were like, this is a safe space, this is like, you know what I mean, like this is a safe space for people, blah blah blah, like that's so fucked up that they said that word, that I can't believe they even would make a joke about that. And then like when it really came down to it, they would fuck me over the fucking most, like in the most, like, you know what I mean, like where they thought they could, like, you know what I mean? And it's just like, so it's just like, it's a really weird place to kind of come back and be like, so like what's reality? You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, who do you trust? Like the people who are just like out here like just saying the most wild shit, or the people who are pretending like they're allies when they're really fucking not?
Yeah. And we're in a progressive state of humanity where we're just now starting to give people the respect that they're due. Women, we, you know, it's wild that we're just now maybe 5-7 years into the feminist movement. There's been women giving life to Earth since the beginning of fucking humanity. Why, how are we just now there? It's crazy. So don't get me wrong. I appreciate the progressive movement, but we're just sort of in the beginning of it where we're dealing with surface shit and not necessarily actions. And that's why comedy is so great, because we pull out we point out the hypocrisies. We find out what's wrong with things. You know, we deep dive into ourselves, most of us. We deep dive into our own self-awareness, and it's what drives us crazy most times. But we're self-sacrificial in that way, because we do that for the good of people who don't have time or ability to be as introspective or as transparent to the masses about what they see, feel, and their perspectives and stuff and such. But I still like the progressive, I call them alternatives, the LGB type, you know, crowd.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily just LGB, it's just like the awkward guys, you know. There used to be alternative comedy back in the day where there were guys that were just like really strange and not just regular comics. But those to me today are real comics to me. I think the alternative comedy now is alternative in terms of not being funny, not being like super funny, like the people like, you know, women should rule the world and everybody just claps, you know what I mean? It's not a punchline. It's real, it's good, it's true. And I think there's a place for it. And I want to go in those rooms too, but it's not typical comedy.
Yeah, it almost feels like power, like, when I was in high school, we have like motivational speakers come to us like twice a year who would talk to us like, hey, don't drink underage. You're going to become an alcoholic. Or like, I went through this genocide. Like, appreciate what the fuck you got. You know what I mean? And I feel like there's like almost like a class of comedy that is almost kind of like motivational speaking in guise of like humor, because it's hard to kind of laugh at some shit, but they label themselves as like comedians, you know what I mean? Like, so it's just like, and here is, oh no, okay. Okay, never mind. But do you get what I'm saying?
Okay, cool.
Sorry, there's someone that came out on the patio and was gonna make an introduction, and then he was like, nah, and so like we won't. But yeah. Anyways, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Do you have any comments?
Comments? Oh, no, man. I'm happy to be the best comedian in Columbus right now.
Shit. Humble.
Nah, man. It's all good, man. I appreciate you hyping me up, because I won't.
I feel like I don't really need to like hype you up though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I've seen you, like, when did you start doing comedy?
My birthday's coming up. I think it's September 7, 2019. So I make 4 years here in a week or two.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. I started like in July of 2019. I don't know the exact date. I wish I did. I wish I took note, like I cared enough. I just tried it because I was like super fucking depressed. I was like, it's a fucking Tuesday. I'm going out. You know what I mean? I didn't think about it. But then I fell in love because I'm a little bit tad narcissist. You know what I mean? like a little, you know.
Yeah, retard where?
What?
Retard where? Bitch, we retarded and narcissistic. Bitch, we the top of the food chain.
Yeah, people love us. People want to be around us. You know what I mean? Yeah. I wish I paid it more attention. But, like, I don't know. Like, what you have done is impressive to me. And it's definitely something I am trying to, like, strive towards. And I'm glad we can be friends. Even though I feel like you shame me a lot sometimes.
That's your narcissism. That's your ego talking. Like, how do I shade you ever?
We're talking about it after the podcast.
Whatever, man.
You know.
I really don't.
Okay.
Like, if we're at shows and like, it's drunk Jordan, we're not gonna have this type of conversation. You know what I'm saying? Because we're not coherent. But that's the only time.
I feel like I'm not that bad when I'm drunk.
Yeah, you feel like that, right? Did you say that in fucking, what was it, the stint that you did in rehab? Did you tell the people that? Like, I think I'm good.
I think I'm good when I'm drunk. It's all good. Listening to some people's stories in rehab, I'm like, I'm fine.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely not as bad. No, you're definitely not as bad. I mean, that's what I do on the side. Is I rent rooms to people who are homeless or whatever, and most of them, if not all of them, have some sort of addiction or whatever, and they're horrible people to talk to for sure. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I get that.
Don't we all have addiction though?
Yeah. I was on opiates real bad some years ago, and I'm not even tempted anymore, but I'm still addicted to everything I do, though. You know, those things try to come through the side door. You know, those self-medicating practices you try to find, whether it's sleep or food or comedy or fucking, you know what I mean? It's always something.
Or comic.
No. Yeah. Porn. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. You come see me on my show enough, I'll tell you all the things I can't stop doing.
Right. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's all. I don't want to cut this early, but like my thing is, I feel like you have like other shit that you're trying to get ready for. Like you have a show in literally like in a half an hour.
Yep.
And I appreciate you taking the time to do this. Thank you so much. Please see Neff on every Thursday at 8:00. He has fucking hilarious, talented ass comics on his fucking show, and he's also funny.
Follow me on Instagram, NeffRizzle. Neff Rizzle.
For sure. Anyways, thank you so much for listening to this. Do you have any final comment that you want to say?
Nah, tell them to comment on the pod. Let's see what they think about what we said. Let's get the drama going. Say something.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Please come out to the attic. There's some cool people. You can see Eric.
And me.
Yeah, there's Eric. There's Bo. There's James Godwin. You know, like, who doesn't love these people, you know? Anyways, bye.
She sound like...